This is Digital Story Podcast number 653, September 18th, 2018. Today's theme is the iPhone XS. It's nice, but I don't need it. I'm Derek Story. Last Wednesday during the Apple event, I pulled out my iPhone X out of the front pocket, examined the screen and the camera lens, and said to myself, I'm good. The device is doing exactly what I needed to do, take good pictures, help manage my life, and provide a little entertainment. And other than a few minor tweaks, the iPhone XS does pretty much the same thing. So am I missing something by not upgrading? We'll explore further on today's show. One of the nice things about my iPhone X is that I opened it up today and I wanted to check some specs and so forth as I was researching this podcast. And I saw that I still had 216 gigabytes of free space. I had bought the 256 model before, which I think is a good move for a guy like me that shoots a lot of pictures and some movies. But I still have 216 left. And I have to tell you that storage space is one of the driving factors for me when I'm thinking about maybe it's time to get a new phone. And when I talk to other people, I mean, it's the first thing I look at. How much storage space do you have left? If you're getting very close to using up all your space, then it's usually a good time to start thinking about a new phone. That's definitely not a factor for me with the iPhone X. Another non-factor is my battery life. It's been excellent. And I don't know if you recall or not, but way back when I first got the iPhone X, way back in time, 10 months ago, right? Something like that. I decided not to plug in the iPhone at night and let it charge all night. I had done some research on extending battery life, and basically what I came up with was that the best way to go is let it run down about halfway and then charge it back up, and then once it's charged, take it off the charger. So essentially what I'm doing is I'm charging it during the day while I'm working here in the office, and I have a Samsung wireless charging pad, and the iPhone X can be charged wirelessly. So I just set it on that and let it charge back up when I'm not using it. And it's worked out great, and I think that it actually is helping my battery stay healthier. So my battery's in good shape as well. And really, aside from one quirk that the 10 has, and I'm not even sure if the 10S solves this or not, by having the screenshot buttons on opposite side of the phone, I do take the weekly inadvertent screenshot of some of the oddest things when I don't mean to. And that's just because of the placement of the buttons. So one thing about the phone that does drive me crazy. However, I am doing it less and less now. You know, you have it for a while. You start to kind of figure a few things out, like not taking screenshots when you don't intend to. I'm going, okay, I feel good. I feel good about the situation. So should I just dismiss it or should I actually dig in, look at the specs and talk about it on the show? And I know that a lot of you use iPhones that listen, and I know that some of you that don't use them are curious about them. And then I know some of you that listen could care less about iPhones, and sorry about that for this week, but you could translate a lot of what I'm talking about on this show into upgrading your particular model and the same sort of decisions that you may or may not have to make. So I decided to look up the specs and comparisons for the just announced iPhone XS and just sort of, you know, get to the factual bottom of all this. And the first thing I looked at was size and weight, and they are virtually the same. So not a whole lot of change there. I mean, in size, I think they're exactly the same. And I think weight, there's just like a fraction of a difference between the two of them. Now, the screen type and resolution is actually the same, but the XS, according to Apple, I haven't tested any of this, by the way, according to Apple, the XS has a better dynamic range, which I think is cool, but I have to tell you that when I take pictures with my phone or with my camera or with anything, you know, really what I'm thinking about is what are other people looking at my pictures with, not so much mine. I mean, obviously I want it to look good on my phone or on the back of my camera. That is important as part of the enjoyment, right? But in terms of this particular spec of the phone having more dynamic range for my viewing pleasure, you know, the screen I'm talking about now, that's nice. But, you know, I don't want to have my screen, you know, looking fantastic here and then have the shots not look quite as great on other people's phones. So that whole thing, sort of a non-issue for me. As long as I like the way it looks when I look at it, I'm a happy camper. Now, there is a processor change, as we always expect on an upgrade. So the XS has a A12 processor and the 10 has an A11 processor. And there's always going to be some improvement in performance with the new processor. And in addition to that, the XS has 4 gigabytes of RAM now compared to the 10's 3 gigabytes of RAM. And I think that's kind of a nice thing there. You know, one of the things, though, that Apple does and other electronics manufacturers is that when they upgrade the processor, they also make more complicated things that the device does that requires that upgrade. So in terms of, you know, net performance gain, in other words, you know, how much faster does the XS feel than the 10? I'm not exactly sure how that all works out. Again, that would have to be some sort of test. Alrighty. At the moment, I have to say I have no complaints about the 10's performance. Camera resolution. Yep, it's the same, 12 megapixels on the back, 7 megapixels for the front-facing camera. But the XS has a new sensor with bigger photo sites, and that usually translates into better low-light performance. I'm looking forward to seeing how tests, real tests, go on that sort of thing. A lot of the changes, photography changes, with the XS have to do with computational photography, right? So there's some new offerings there. There's Smart HDR, which the Google Pixel has essentially had for some time. The enhanced bokeh effect. And I thought it was pretty funny that people were giving Phil Schiller grief about saying bokeh, which is the same way that I say it. So I didn't even think anything about it. I know some people say bokeh. And there are different ways to pronounce it. And maybe bokeh is a California thing, right? Maybe in California, we're all saying it wrong. And since Phil is out here in California and I'm in California, I didn't think twice about bokeh the way he pronounced it during the presentation. And then on top of that, the enhanced bokeh effect, that's a little squishy. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I saw some pictures, but I'm not exactly sure what's going on under the hood. At any rate, Apple feels it's important and they listed it as a feature. And then the depth control, which is interesting, and that is when you're looking at an image, you can change, you know, the aperture setting, so to speak, in post and get, you know, the effect of that changed aperture. So, and I think people mainly are looking at how much detail do they want in the background. By either opening up the aperture, or do they want more detail and, you know, close down the aperture a bit. So that looks kind of fun, and I wouldn't mind playing with that. However, I'm not going to spend $1,000, or in my case, $1,300, right? Because I'm going to get the 256 gigabyte model. Not worth paying that money for. Let's see here. What else we have? Speakers. Yeah. The XS has a 25% increase in speaker volume and stereo support. And I thought that the 10 had stereo before, but I guess it's just the same music coming out of both, you know, where you listen and the speakers at the bottom. It kind of gave the feeling of stereo, but maybe it isn't true stereo. I do like the way that the 10 plays music. You know, my boys, they will play it without headphones a lot. You know, when they're watching YouTube videos and stuff especially. And I always, you know, used headphones because I never really liked the sound. I'm a little picky about sound, as you can guess. Never liked the sound coming out of the device itself, out of the speakers. But I have to say, the 10 is actually rather enjoyable to listen to. And I will play a song, especially if it's a song for somebody where you say, hey, did you hear this new song? And they go, what song is that? And you just play it. And it actually sounds pretty good. I don't know if I'd listen to it that way all the time. But every now and then, it's okay, I have to say. It's like a little mini boombox, right? And I guess now we have a 25% increase in speaker volume. And what I thought was stereo support before now actually is part of the 10S. Now, here's the one feature that I think is cool. And I don't know if I would use it, but I would like to have the opportunity to use it if I needed it. And that's with the SIM support, the eSIM, to be able to share two phone numbers on a single device. So the 10 does not have eSIM. Well, actually, in all honesty, the 10S doesn't have eSIM yet either. It will have it, I guess, before the end of the year, but it doesn't have it right now. But this idea of being able to have, you know, let's say a work number and a personal number on the same device, I think that's interesting. I really do think that's interesting and kind of cool. And that is the one feature on the 10S that I go, oh, I would definitely like to play with that. I'll just have to wait. Slightly better battery life for the 10S. And as I said earlier in the show, pretty happy with the battery life on my 10 right now. And then there is the gold case offering for the 10S, which the 10 doesn't have. But I always have a back case on my phone. So it really doesn't make any difference, you know, what case color is, except for the little hole in the back of the case, you know, where the Apple is. And then I could see that there. So for me, and this is funny, this is a question I'd like to put to you. How many of you care about the coloring of your phone, and are you carrying it around without a protective case? You know, one of the things about, the cheaper model iPhone that will be coming out, a month from now, all the different color offerings, I was thinking about there too, and that, again, I'm just going to put a back case on it. It doesn't make much difference to me what color the case is. I just change outer case colors, I guess, whenever I want something different. So those are the highlight specs as I see it. And really, I think what I should talk about now, and this has been an ongoing conversation for us, right, in terms of the role that our smartphones, whether it's an iPhone or a Pixel or whatever you happen to be shooting with, the role of our phones and the cameras in those phones, to be specific, in our photography. And, you know, I think that is the real thing these days. And I don't think the new phone changes that at all. In other words, my phone is my personal photography. It's family, it's friends, it's things that I notice in life. And, you know, I always am looking out for odd juxtapositions and things like that. A lot of times I capture those with my iPhone because it's right there in my pocket. And you know, all that kind of stuff. And then having it connected to iCloud and then having those images, you know, on my phone and on my computer and on my tablet all at the same time. All that stuff I love and is not affected by the newer model. So I think in general, the new iPhone, the iPhone XS and the XS Max, they're really for people who have older phones and it's time for them to upgrade anyway. This just happens to be the cycle where they're ready to upgrade. And if they do, it's going to be a heck of a phone. It's an expensive phone. I mean, this whole idea of paying $1,000 or more for your phone, you know, that's really something when you stop and think about it. Now we have to think about it in terms of we're buying a piece of photography equipment, those of us that are into photography and mobile photography. And even then, last week's show, I was talking about the Fujifilm XF10, which is just a heck of a camera. You know, I went on and on about it last week, but that's $499, twice the resolution, much bigger sensor, you know, all that kind of stuff than my smartphone. For me, this announcement really doesn't mean much. I'd be curious when I post this on our Facebook page if any of you have, you know, strongly differing opinions, especially those of you that have more current phones, and if you see some compelling reason to get the XS. It was fun to watch the announcement. Actually, I was really listening, hoping to hear something about new AirPods or the wireless charging and, you know, maybe even iPads, that sort of thing. But basically, all I got was the two things that I'm not really interested in upgrading, which is, you know, the new watch and the new iPhone. Looks like good stuff. It's just not for me, not this time around. We have a new Portfolio Box featured photographer on our Facebook page, Jay Tuttle, this week. And he has a terrific shot from Morocco. I just love his shot, and it's our banner on Facebook page. If you haven't seen it yet, if you haven't been over to the Facebook page, go over and take a look at it. And then also make sure that you go over and take a look at Jay's Portfolio Box Pro site. He's got so many good shots on there. Really a good example of, you know, the kind of things that you can do using the Portfolio Box platform and, you know, really nice imagery, or at least picking out the images that you really want to show off and put in the best light, which is exactly what Jay has done. So that's what I'm doing for September. Every week, I'm going to pick a different photographer from our directory of Portfolio Box Pro sites. And I've just updated the directory again. We have some new photographers there that are on there. And I have the link to the directory in our show notes. So make sure you go over there and take a look at some of these sites. And then definitely when I feature a photographer on the Facebook page and I tweet about it also, I would definitely go over and take a look at that photographer's site, because I'll tell you, if there's that one great image that turned my head, chances are pretty good that there are other images worth taking a look at. Now, if you want to be a part of all this, if you want to have a Portfolio Box Pro site, it's really easy. You can start for free, and all you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story to set up your free account and go ahead and just, you know, build your site. Make sure you go through the tile though, because if you decide to upgrade to the Pro account, then you'll get a 20% discount. And that has to be going through our page in order for that to happen. But you don't have to go pro right away. I mean, it's really fun to play with this. It's so intuitive. It looks so good. You know, I'll tell you, the one thing that really drove me to getting the Pro account was the fact that I get my own domain. So Derek Story Photography, they handle all that for you. You don't have to do anything other than, you know, just decide what you want. And they do all the legwork, which I tell you, if you've ever set up a domain, you know what a wonderful benefit that is. And you get a 20% discount if you're a TDS listener and you go through our tile. That is much cheaper than a lot of the competition. And I won't name names, but you know who I'm talking about. All righty. So Portfolio Box, they are fantastic. To get started, I would do two things. First, I would go look at some of these sites by your fellow photographers and see what they've done with this platform. And then when you're ready to go, click on the tile and set up a free site. I'm going to leave Jay's photo up for a few more days, and then we'll go on to our next Portfolio Box Pro Photographer of the Week. Usually around the end of the week, I like to put that up. So make sure you check that out. Portfolio Box, sponsor of the Digital Story. I love their platform, and I really enjoy working with them as well. Cleaner audio with Sound Soap. So I did this post, so I have a review on the Digital Story where you can, you know, read more about it. I discovered the software really trying to solve a problem. And actually, believe it or not, it came out of using the XF10. So the XF10 was fantastic for still photos. I was really excited about it. But when I did the review last week, I didn't have my adapter yet because it has a 2.5 millimeter jack for an external microphone. All my external mics are 3.5 millimeter jacks, so I had to get an adapter in order to test it. And once I did, I really was getting excited about the whole idea of being able to do video blogging with this device, because we're talking about no camera bag at all, right? I have the have the camera in one pocket, have my iPhone in the other pocket, and then just a lavalier mic in, you know, back pocket or jacket pocket or whatever, and I'm ready to go. I tested it out. I was very pleased with the audio. I thought it worked really well, and I did the test where I compared the lavalier mic audio with just the built-in stereo speakers on the XF10, and of course there was a huge difference, and that was in a quiet studio. Imagine at a trade show or somewhere like that where there's a lot of external noise, that difference becomes, you know, even more significant. But just like so many cameras where you plug a mic directly into them, there's a fair amount of noise, right? Kind of the hissing sort of noise that's there in the background. And I don't like a lot of that noise. I'm okay with a little bit of it as long as my signal to noise is strong. And I was thinking, you know, that noise level is just a bit higher than I like. So I decided to find an easy solution to tame that. And what I didn't want to do was have to run this particular video through Final Cut 10. I like Final Cut 10 a lot. I use it for bigger projects. It's fantastic. It has great noise reduction tools in it that work really well. But what I'm thinking about is something where I record the video and then I just have my 11-inch MacBook Air with me, just process it really fast and then upload it to Vimeo and share it. And I didn't want to get into, you know, the whole process of using Final Cut 10, which is more elaborate. I just want to get rid of the noise and post is really what I wanted to do. So I discovered SoundSoap. At first I found it in the Mac App Store. Now this app works on both Windows and Mac both. So it's a cross-platform app, but I found it on the Mac App Store. And they had basically a light version. They call it Solo for $79. Now at first you go, hey, $79 is not exactly chump change. And I agree with you, it's not. However, audio processing apps tend to be expensive, and especially ones that do things like get rid of noise. So for the type of app it is, $79 is really affordable. And in fact, you know, there are other versions where like $119 and $149, I think, something like that. So the Solo version for $79 is really a very good deal. Basically, what I could do is just load SoundSoap onto my computer, have it there waiting for me, then just take the video that I just recorded, drop it on SoundSoap. The video comes up in a separate window, apply the noise reduction tools to it, and it's like reducing noise from a photograph. Apply the noise reduction tools, and then just output a cleaner version. Now, the thing about it is it doesn't mess with the video part at all, so you're not, you know, resampling the video or doing anything like that. The video just stays fine. It's only messing with the audio track, and by messing with, I mean cleaning it up and making it sound a lot better. And then you can post. So it was exactly what I needed. And I looked at a bunch of different stuff. First of all, there weren't that many offerings to clean up audio this easily. And second of all, those that were there were either more expensive or just didn't work as well. So I thought, wow, this is something that I really should share with anyone who's thinking about doing interviewing with, you know, their digital camera. And really just want to get the best sound possible. It does all sorts of stuff, and it allows you to increase the volume. It gets rid of hum, it gets rid of background hiss. It does a number of things, and it does it really well. It's very fast, and it's super easy to use. I mean, I was up to speed on it in about 5 minutes. So, I mean, that's pretty good stuff. And I wanted to share that with you. So it's called SoundSoap, and I have the link to their website in the show notes. And I also have the link for those of you that are on Macs, a link to the App Store, which I think is a good way to go, because then that way the updates and everything are just, you know, handled for you. And it's really easy to share among your different computers when it's in the Mac App Store. So you can get either the Mac App Store or the Windows or Mac version from their site. And I've used it now about 3 or 4 times on some different bits of video. And I have to tell you, I really like it a lot. It's an excellent tool, and I'm really happy I discovered it. If you're doing video, I would take a look at it and see what you think. Inner Circle members, I just want to tell you I'm really enjoying the conversations that we're having about the New York Postcard Project, Fine Art Card, And this week we did the One World Trade Center. I had two shots of that. And again, got some really nice conversation. And at the same time, I went through all those names, listed them out, and then did a random generator. And we have the winner for a set of fine art cards, once they're completed, for week number two. And the winner for week number two is William Risky. William Risky, Bill Risky, I'm guessing. And thanks so much for participating, everyone. I have to tell you, I really enjoy the feedback. I love your comments. And I love seeing, of the two shots, you know, which you choose. It's fun for me. It's very interesting. Again, we're going to do it this week. We'll have a new week three winner pulled from the comments. A big thanks to all of our Patreon members, whether they're participating in this or not. I just so value your support and help keeping this podcast on the air. I mean, we're working on some things right now. Twitter just changed their whole API feed. So, you know, we're having to dig in and figure that out and retool so we can have the Twitter feedback on the site. You know, all those kinds of things, they take time, they cost money, and your support allows us to keep our site up and running and improving and staying, you know, modern, staying up to speed with the changes that are happening online. If you're interested in becoming a Patreon member, just go to the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Go over to our page, see what's going on, and hopefully you'll sign up and become a part of our inner circle. Alrighty, just a few last things here, and we'll wrap up for this week. I've been mentioned for a while that we have both B&H and Amazon tiles on the Digital Story. If you're thinking about making a big purchase, if you just stop by the site first and click on either Amazon or B&H tile, then that'll take you over to the site and then you can find the product that you want. But we're affiliates for both of those sites, and your purchases help support the site, and I appreciate you taking that one extra step when it works out for you. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, the longest running sponsor of the Digital Story, makers of fantastic inkjet paper, the paper that I use for all of my projects, fine art cards, which we're working on right now, but snapshots, big prints, you name it, I use Red River Paper for it. And I should also mention that they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. So it's funny, you know, last week I was totally excited about the Fujifilm XF10 and couldn't wait to talk about it. This week I knew I should talk about the iPhone XS, but wasn't really feeling, you know, the love at all. I admire what Apple has done, but it's not anything that I need. Who knows what we're going to talk about next week? It's that time of year where just turn around and there's something new coming out, or, you know, who knows, maybe it'll be the new Panasonic full frame mirrorless. We don't know, but whatever it is, I'll be here talking about it next week, and I hope to have you here with me. Until then, have a great week. Bye bye now.